with our team. Today we are launching into 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about a precious faith. Church, our faith really is precious. I will do my best today, but I'm just kind of launching today. It's going to be quick, but just kind of laying a foundation. By the way, we all need someone in our life who has the courage to tell us the difficult truth, especially when it's necessary. Amen. I'll say it for you. All of us should want someone in our life like that who is direct and honest with us. Now, I don't want them to be mean or harsh, but I want them to be truthful with me. That balance can be hard to find in life when we deal. That's why our children many times feel like, you're coming down on me. I'm trying to just give you some truth. But in the second letter of Peter, I believe we can find that balance. Peter is very clear with his words, but also godly in his presentation. 2 Peter is a very unique letter for a unique circumstance that the church was going through. In 1 Peter, when we studied that letter, really he was encouraging those who were going through persecution and times of trouble from the outside. 2 Peter, though, is written some 2 to 5 years later after his first letter. Now he is writing to the church to defend the Christian faith from teachings that were coming from within the church that were heresy. He was teaching them, they were beginning to say, well, Jesus really isn't coming back. There were false teachers that were threatening and undermining the doctrine of the church. Peter now is going to answer some important, and I really believe, contemporary questions that people have today. Questions like, is it possible to know God without a true knowledge of God's Son, Jesus? In other words, this would be the question the world has, do all roads really lead to heaven? Another question, can you really know God and live an uncommitted life? In other words, can you pursue the values of this world and really still be a follower of Christ? Maybe the question will be answered, is it possible to know God and reject the second coming of Christ? In this short letter, Peter is going to attempt to stabilize our doctrine and our thinking and warn us and try to reclaim those who might be drifting from the truth. Let's go to 2 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2 is all I'm dealing with today. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the faith that we have. Thank you, Lord, for the doctrine that we do understand. And Lord, help us to be teachable and trainable and changeable. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing Peter really is telling us as he launches into this, he says, I'm a servant and an apostle. In the first letter, if you go back, he says, I'm an apostle. In this letter, he adds this additional word that I'm a servant. The apostles, by the way, were those first designated by Christ to carry the gospel into the world and to be leaders of the faith. The role of an apostle today, to be honest with you, is challenging to define. But my belief and my understanding, it is those who are visionary leaders who are seeing fresh ways of carrying and proclaiming the gospel to lost people in this world. They're apostles. They're these key leaders. Now, for Peter, he recognized his authority as an apostle, and he said, oh, that's important, but only as he remained a servant of God. Once again, Peter starts by saying, Simon Peter, a servant an apostle of Jesus Christ. I find it interesting. He uses both his name, reed and rock. I was named Simon, but I've been a Peter. And he says, I'm a servant. Now, there's two Greek words in the Bible that are usually translated servant. There's the Greek word oketes, meaning a household servant. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we saw this when Peter was talking about your employees. You be submissive. You be a servant to your employer. You serve them. That's that household. You're there helping and serving them. Then there's the Greek word doulos, meaning slave or a bond slave. Now, that is the word that Peter uses here in this verse. Listen to the meaning kind of written out. It's one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. A second definition would be devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. That's a bond slave. What Peter is really saying here is he is owned and controlled by Jesus Christ for the purpose and the cause of why Jesus Christ came. Many would become servants of those in the in that day, but when the time came they could be released, many of them said, I don't want to be released. I want to bond myself to the master. I will become a bond slave. And that's what Peter is saying. That's what I've done with Christ. Church, I wonder, could we ever be that sold out to our Savior and our Redeemer? Peter was, because Peter knew who Jesus was. William Barclay, a commentator, writes this, speaking about a bond slave. It says, it means that we are possessed by Christ in the same way in which we may possess things we own. A servant can change his master, but a slave cannot. We belong to God. We are at his disposal. We have no rights of our own. Amen. We have surrendered, and he added this word, willingly, our hearts and wills to him whom we trust with our very souls. We owe him unquestionable obedience. Our first question must always be, Lord, what would you have me do? Church, we have to be constantly in the Lord's service. Barclay adds this. He said, in the ancient world, the slave had literally no time of his own, no holidays, no leisure. All his time belonged to the master. The Christian cannot either deliberately or unconsciously compartmentalize life into the time and activities which belong to God and the time and activities in which he does what he likes. Church, we belong to God. A Christ follower is a person whose every moment of time is spent in service to God. We've got to be sold out, ready to move at the Spirit's call at any time. Amen? Now, this is how Peter viewed his life and really how we should view our lives. We are not our own. For Paul writes it this way in 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Hear this clearly. You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Church, it's a privilege to serve the Lord and our Savior and our soon-coming King. Listen again to 1 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So what is this precious faith that Peter mentions here? First, I want you to notice this. Faith is received. The faith that is ours in Christ is not something we earn through our effort or something we choose as an act of our will. We are made right with God because of something God has already done for us. In the Gospel of John, John 1, 12 and 13 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God." The Bible clearly teaches God gives us that opportunity to receive him so that we can be born again. And then he gives us the ability to believe in him and become children of God. Ephesians 2:8, regarding our precious faith, says, God saved you by what? His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Our salvation begins as this gift we receive. And then we put our faith in that gift. And that faith simply believes that Jesus came for us to redeem us, to give his life for us, that he rose from the dead. Anyone who believes in him and receives him as Lord is saved. That's faith. And then we take that faith and we spend the rest of our lives living grateful for the faith and also serving Jesus by telling of that faith to others. Now, our faith has to be anchored to the deity of Jesus. We have to believe that Jesus is God. Interesting thought that's actually in this verse 1 is where Peter referred to the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. There are some religions, and you know many of them, who want to think that God and Jesus are two separate people. The Greek text, so I want you to know, is literally written this way. Having obtained a faith through righteousness of the God of us and the God Savior, that's the way the word the there ties the two together, of the God of us and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the reason the translations are there, because that could be a little awkward to read. And so translations have tried to make it more readable. But if we're not careful, the statement of the God of us and Savior, understanding it combines the two, so both God and Savior is Jesus Christ. Sadly, you just have to know, in translating from Greek or from the Hebrew, all of these things, to make it readable, sometimes gets challenging. And that's why there's certain words for us. We have one word, I've talked to you about it, love. Greek has actually 8 different words, but 4 major ones. And when they translate it, it's just love for us. So it's a challenge. The New Living Translation actually captures it pretty well. It says, this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. The faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. So it clarifies that he is both. Jesus is both God and Savior. This is my point. Church, we believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're one God, one purpose and heart, just one God, but expressed in 3 persons. Can I explain it better than that? Probably not. That's why it's called faith. I do have an egg here. This is just one egg. But the egg expresses itself in 3 parts, a shell, a white, and a yolk. But it's one egg. Church, I can't fully explain how God functions, but by faith, according to his word, there is one God, and that he expresses himself, though, in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter is making this bold statement, if you go back to the original Greek, the way he wrote it, that Jesus is God, because the very first verse he is trying to lay this out, because there is already false teaching creeping into the church of that day. And that was that the deity of Jesus was being diminished. People wanted to believe Jesus, he was a man, he walked on the earth, and he was a good moral teacher, and maybe even a great prophet. Church, I want you to know that's what Islam teaches, but it's not the truth. Mormonism will teach about Jesus, but they do not believe that Jesus is God. Church, Jesus was God in flesh. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Peter is making his position clear again at the beginning of this letter that Jesus is God. Everybody say that. Jesus is God. And because he is God, he was the one who was able to rescue us from sin and judgment. Church, our salvation is tied to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who is God. Peter states it's through the righteousness of Jesus that we're able to receive this precious faith. We have no righteousness of our own, church. It was Jesus who gave his life as a payment for our sin. His life was righteous. He was the second Adam. He wasn't born of man. He was born of the Spirit of God, because God created within Mary a virgin and impregnated her with himself so he could come and redeem us. He became our sufficient payment for our sin, so mercy could be extended to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Through the righteous life, the sacrificial death, the triumphal resurrection of Jesus, we are made righteous. And of course, this salvation is available to anyone who will believe and put their faith in Jesus Christ as God and Savior. This is the message that Peter is really trying to get across. It's the truth that Jesus is God. And by the way, this is entirely about your life. Why is all this important? Because God wants you to have abundant life. Listen to verse 2 again. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Through, I want you to have it, but it comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Peter says, grace and peace be yours. The word grace, of course, contains the idea of mercy and love and pardon. This gift that we receive. The grace of God is a gift. And the peace of God, comes as a benefit of God's grace. It's because of God's grace that we can now know the peace of God that transcends our understanding. Why? Because my understanding tries to put facts to everything, and I'm to live by faith, not by sight. And so I have peace even in the midst of trials. In the midst of hostility, I can be at rest because I am in the hands of God. My life is not my own. Why do we get so worried about our lives? I hate disease, but I'll be honest with you. You know what? All I do is I have to trust the hand of God in my life. If he wants to work miracles, if he wants to use medicine, I'm his. Peter's desire is that we really know God's truth, the truth of who God is, to know him as Savior, and then to grow in that knowledge of that truth. God did save us, but he didn't save us so we could just stagnate in our faith. God saved us so we could grow, so we could be more like his Son. God saved us so we would have the power and the work of the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives, so we could have a life that's of peace and joy and grace abundantly. And church, there's nothing we can do to earn or produce that faith. You receive it. And when you do, you will find the love, joy, peace, and goodness, and the grace of God. And when you do that, that's when you'll want to bond yourself to God. I serve you, but Lord, I'm ready to stay with you forever. In second service, we're going to baptize three individuals. And one of the things that I kind of always end with is that you're going to live for him forever. You've made this decision. And the reason being, you're bonding yourself. Say, you know what? I am here for his purpose. In the weeks to come, we're going to look at some life-giving words that are in this little letter. Church, I know we live in a culture that says truth is different for different people. Church, there is just one truth. I know that some believe, well, God's just too far away, and how can you know God? Peter's going to help answer some of those challenging questions that our culture has. But the truth of God's word is the truth. And all other so-called truth has to be measured by the truth of God's word. Now, not everyone's going to like the truth that Peter proclaims. However, I pray that his church will be open to the warnings and the admonition and the correction that Peter has to bring if we need it. Amen? Amen. What do you think about that opener? You're like, that's it? I'm going to leave you right there. Because we've got to walk through this, but church, I'm telling you, we're 2,000 years removed from Jesus dying for us. And heresy has crept in. All the traditions that we even do here, as good as they might be, I'm not sure is exactly how God would do it. If Jesus showed up to run the service today, it might be a lot different. In fact, if he walked into this room right now, I think every one of us would change our posture. So why don't we, when we recognize he's omnipresent? This is why we've got to get this truth. But he says, this is what we do. Keep teaching it. Keep sharing it. And that's what Peter is going to do, because he says, I have bonded my life to the truth. And now he's going to share it. Amen? Amen? Would you bow your heads for a moment? If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity today. He came for you to erase your sin, to forgive you, so you can live in heaven with him. And so if that's you, balcony or main floor, would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray with us a prayer of commitment to God and a prayer of belief in him. And is there anyone? Just lift your hand up. You put it right back down. I'm glancing across. I don't see any hands this morning. Look at me. Church, I want to always be challenged by God's word. I want to be challenged by my own study of it. I want you to be challenged as the Holy Spirit speaks to your life. So stay open to what God wants to speak to us. Some of my pastors are going to be helping me with this series. I'm going to have some of them sharing some of these messages with me. I didn't do that in 1 Peter, but I'm doing that in 2 Peter. I want you to know we're a team, and we're working together. But I tell you, the Word of God is our foundation. Amen? Amen. God bless our people, your people, Lord, that we come to hear your Word. We come to know you are God. Lord, thank you for our faith. Though we may not fully understand it, Lord, there are some principles that are foundational. One is there is one true God. And Lord, we lay our foundation on that, that you came to rescue us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for infilling our lives and having that guarantee of your presence in our life. And so, Lord, as we walk through these days, Lord, may we be keen to deception that the enemy brings. Lord, and let it not happen within us, because, God, we're staying true to your word. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week. Amen.